Many of you already know that last Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, Vicar Short went to the hospital in Omaha. He's been hospitalized ever since. He is a very sick young man, full of smiles and still very positive. The doctors don't have much for answers, and they are pretty sure that it is not a return of his Hodgkin's lymphoma. That's the good news. The bad news is we really don't know what the problem is right now. And so he is receiving 2 blood transfusions a day and hoping that the medicine is going to kick in soon. We are we're asking folks to, as much as everybody loves and cares for our vicar, we're asking please no visits or phone calls or anything like that. And it's not that he's so sick he can't talk on the phone, but we are trying to have every ounce of his energy focused on getting better and getting healthy. So if you want to send him a I don't know how this works, but a Facebook message or something like that, that's okay. If you want to get a card or anything like that, get it to Pastor Morundi and I, and we'll make sure that we get it to him. Also, we've had lots of folks ask about Vicar's parents. They are here. They're staying in a motel that is close by that offers a medical family discount rate. And so we're going to have a basket set up outside of church if you want to help with some of those family expenses for motel and meals. That would be great. If you want to buy some scrip for gasoline cards for mom and dad, that would be great too. And if you really want to help, give blood, because he has put a serious dent in the blood supply in Nebraska over the last several days. So we continue to lift him up in prayers, and the great physician of body and soul will hear our prayers, and we pray that God's will be done. So, Vicar, I'm sure you're listening. The thoughts and prayers of your family and friends here at Good Shepherd are with you. Okay, a couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 427, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. Worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We're in Lent, so we're holding back from the hymn of praise, and we'll sing the Lenten responses as well. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time, and we pray that God would remember who He is, gracious, loving, and merciful, and remember not our great sin. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection has won for us forgiveness, life, and salvation. We thank You for the grace that overflows into every aspect of our lives. Heavenly Father, You have given us free access to You. We have, at times, taken it for granted. And Heavenly Father, we ask You now, forgive our many sins and fill us with peace, with hope, and with confidence that can come only from Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's in His powerful and precious name, crucified and resurrected, to give us life and life to the full, that we gather, worship, and pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 427.
worship, divine service, setting number 3, page 184, page 184, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Lord, pardon my guilt, Lord, give his
with you. Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for Reminiscere comes from the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis. That same night Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of the gradual, we speak them together. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Our epistle lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Church of God in Rome, chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Having heard the very words of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit from the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Our sermon hymn number 754, you may be seated.
Thank you.
Take heart. Have hope, my spirit, and do not be dismayed. God helps in every trial and makes you unafraid. Await His time with patience. Through darkest hours of night, until the sun you hoped for delights your eager sight. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading that we heard, Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, especially verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters and in Christ. Jacob was a scoundrel. He cheated Dad. He cheated his brother. He got cheated by Laban. Back and forth, back and forth. Finally, he's returning home. And then he hears word. Esau's coming to meet him. And he has a large army with him. Jacob, fully aware of his sin, fully aware of his guilt, fully aware of his shame, had no peace. None whatsoever. The Canaanite or Syrophoenician woman has a problem. Her daughter is sick, very sick, deathly sick. In a culture where it was very common for people to offer their children up as burnt offerings, this mom actually cared for her daughter. She knew where to go. She had heard of this Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Son of David. She fights through all of the protection to gain access to Jesus. She begs Jesus for a miracle. Jesus doesn't answer. She begs him again for a miracle. Jesus infers that she's not worthy of helping. She's a foreigner. She's a dog. Fully aware of her sin, fully aware of her guilt, fully aware of her shame, the Canaanite woman had no peace. People of God here at Good Shepherd had a little bit of a double whammy this week. Last Sunday, Pastor Morundi announces he's leaving us. No, he's not dying, but going to graduate school, and as hard as it is to say goodbye, now we have a 5-month goodbye. Wednesday, a few people knew that Vicar had been sick. Wednesday, we get the news that Vicar's not sick. Vicar is extremely sick. Being kept alive by these blood transfusions. Doctors have no answer. People of God here at Good Shepherd are wondering, what is going on? Pastor's leaving. Vicar's sick. All kinds of stuff and chaos in our own individual lives and families seems to pale in comparison sometimes. We're all fully aware of our guilt, our sin, and our shame. All too often, we have no peace. So then we come into God's house, and we hear God, through the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, right. Peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds like a pipe dream. Sounds like a joke. Sounds like a wish or a hope. My friends, today we come into God's house, like every other day, if we're really honest about it. And we're all seeking the same thing. Peace. Peace with God. Peace with ourselves. Peace with other folks. That peace that surpasses all understanding. As Lutherans, we know very well the heart, the core, the soul of the Scriptures, and our faith is justification by grace through faith on account of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And yet all too often we are guilty of treating the doctrine of justification like an idea or a concept or some Platonic thought, something that is very abstract, like a philosophy, and not real, not concrete. Justification? Yes, that's a textbook theory, and it has absolutely no basis or no connection with my life, with my pain, with my suffering, with my worries, with my lack of peace. My friends, for this attitude and for these actions, God calls us right here and right now to repent. Hear the word of God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification. God has declared you righteous, holy, sinless, not guilty. Why? Because you tried really hard this week? Why? Because you cleaned up your act and you're better now than you were last week, last month, last year, last decade? Why? Because you volunteered to serve on a board or a committee or put a big check in the collection plate? No! You have peace. You are justified because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus, God in the flesh, placing himself under the law which condemns all people, including you and me. Jesus fulfilling the law on our behalf, but not stopping there. Taking your sin and my sin and the sin of the world into himself, onto himself, all the way to Calvary's cross, bleeding and dying the death we deserve, bleeding and dying the death we have earned. Jesus, who fulfills all things. It is finished. A victory cry. Jesus, who is laid in a stone-cold tomb, but death could not hold the one who knew no sin. Jesus, who was really dead, is now alive, never to die again. Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection is yours, free, poured out to you in the waters of holy baptism, poured out to you in the words of the absolution, poured out to you every time you hear the gospel, poured out to you every time you eat and drink his body and blood. God declares you righteous, justified. This is not some idea. It is as real and tangent and tangible as the blood and death and resurrection of Jesus. It is yours. And because it is yours, peace is yours. Not peace as the world gives. God's peace. The forgiveness of sins. You're at peace with the Father. Because Jesus has won for you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Because you're at peace with the Father and your sins are forgiven, you're at peace with yourself. Your sin, your guilt, your shame, your past, it's gone. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, it's gone. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. It's real. And because we're at peace with the Father, and because we're at peace with ourselves, we can strive in the midst of this sinful world, we can strive to live at peace with other people, our spouse, our parents, our children, our neighbor, our coworker, our fellow church member. All of this is pure gift. Pure gift. Peace is a present reality. Because Jesus has earned and won it for you. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. Our faith does not save us. Jesus saves us. Our faith is like an open hand that clings to the word and promises of God. Pastor Morundi said it best. Your faith is only as strong as the object that it clings to. Well, what are you clinging to? Your thoughts? Your feelings? Your emotions? Your past? Your stuff? Your money? Your health? My friends, these things will all let you down. We are saved by grace through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of the God-man Jesus Christ for us and for our salvation. And when we cling to Him in faith, the fruits of this faith overflow into our lives. You want to know what they are? God tells us. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, if you think about that, it makes no sense. God has given us, by grace through faith in Jesus, access to God. All right? The temple curtain is torn in two. We have direct access to God. We don't need to go through any intermediary. This is an ongoing thing. This is forever and ever. This access has been won for you. But at the end of that verse, it says, in which we stand. You're already there. You are already there in this free, perfect access to God. And this access, this direct line, if you will, is there each and every day of your life. Like that Canaanite woman, there are times when we lift up our prayers and petitions to God and God is silent. We don't mind so much when the answer to our prayers is yes or no. What we really can't handle is when God's answer to our prayer is wait. And there are times when it appears that the promises of God are for everyone else except for me. What do? There's only one thing to do. Cling to the promises of God even more. Because God's word and God's promises are for you. God loves it when we take His promises and we hold them under His nose. When we bring our prayers and petitions to God, knowing what His will is, forgiveness, life, and salvation. This access to God is something that we often take for granted. We hear of a problem, oh yes, I'll keep that in my prayers, and then we never pray. We think that we have nothing that we can do in this situation. I have to be honest with you, I've heard that a lot this week. I just wish there was something we could do for Vicar. Pray. Yeah, I know that. But I wish there was something we could do. My friends, the prayers of the righteous availeth much, thus saith the Lord. We cling to that promise. We cling to that encouragement. And we lift up our prayers and petitions not only for Vicar and his health, but for every situation, because this is the access that God has given us through the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus. That's not all the fruit that God gives us by grace through faith in Jesus. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This peace with God, this forgiveness, life, and salvation overflows into our life with joy and hope. Joy, knowing that God truly is who He claims to be. The death and resurrection of Jesus proves that. Hope. Hope. Not like, well, I hope it gets to be 60 degrees today and melts all the ice off my sidewalk. But a sure and certain hope of heaven. The reality of seeing Jesus face to face in the mansion prepared with us since the beginning of time, where there will be no pain, there will be no suffering, there will be no death, there will be no hospitals, there will be no transfusions, there will be no cemeteries, there will be no mourning, there will be no hurt, there will be no loss, there will be no broken relationships, only the joy of knowing Jesus face to face. My friends, that hope is yours. It's not a concept. It's not a philosophy. It is real as the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus. That hope is not only for our future in heaven. God goes on. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. I didn't stutter. God's word says, because of the peace that we have, forgiveness, life, and salvation in Jesus Christ, our joy is not only for our future with Jesus in heaven. Our joy is right here and right now, even in the midst of our sufferings. How can that be? Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. My friends, how can God be so bold as to say that suffering produces all these things? Well, it doesn't happen automatically. He's talking here to the child of God, to the one who is at peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the child of God who is at peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, His suffering and death, that child of God knows that in the midst of our sufferings, these are not punishments from God to us or anyone else. Jesus took all punishment for all time into Himself and onto Himself. We know that this is God at work forming us and shaping us like gold or silver through the refiner's fire, making our faith more pure and more genuine as we fall on our knees, confessing our sins, clinging to the word and promises of God. A Christian character is built and developed and grows in us. A patience that the world thinks is absolutely silly is created in us, clinging and waiting for the promises of God. And an endurance, like a long-distance runner, an endurance is created in us by the power of the gospel at work. If you decided today you were going to start training for a marathon, you would not go outside and run 25 miles. You might be happy to run around the block. And then maybe the next day to do it twice. This endurance and patience and character is created and produced by God throughout the entirety of our life. My friends, don't lose hope. The promises of God are real. The peace that God gives you in Jesus Christ is a present reality. Your future is secure in the mansion prepared for you since the beginning of time. And God will not leave you in the midst of your pain or sorrow or suffering or loss. He knows. He cares. This peace is God's ongoing gift. Jacob was amazed that his brother Esau welcomed him with open arms. Peace. The Canaanite woman said, "Yeah, I'm a dog. Just give me a crumb." And Jesus didn't give her a crumb. He gave her the whole loaf. Pastor Morundi, we'll miss him. But God has great things in store for him in this church and in this church body. And Vicar, well, Vicar hasn't lost hope, and neither should you. The words that I leave ringing in his head every time I see him or talk to him on the phone are exactly the same. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because the peace of Jesus Christ is real. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our prayers, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. We need a new heart because ours is tainted with sin. We stand and sing our offertory, page 192. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of peace, real peace, true peace in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
In addition to the prayers as listed in your news and notes, we celebrate with Roger and Gaylene Potter, Good Shepherd members, who are celebrating their 50th anniversary today. Also, we remember Good Shepherd member Don Wheezy, who had emergency gallbladder surgery yesterday and continues to be hospitalized. We pray for Ginger Borneman's father, David Price, who is currently hospitalized. We stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remember, Lord, your mercy and steadfast love toward us. Be gracious to us. Create in us humble and contrite hearts that we might always cry out to you for mercy. Consider our afflictions and troubles and forgive all our sins. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, our nation and its leaders, especially President Trump and Governor Ricketts. Guide them in the direction you would have them go, that peace and prosperity, truth and justice, religion and piety may dwell in our land. Remember also those who serve in our armed forces, that they would serve with integrity and with honor. Lord, in your mercy, remember, O Lord, all the baptized, that you would keep them strong in the true faith until life everlasting. Especially remember those who are to receive the sacrament of holy baptism this day, claimed by the water and the word, James Wagner, Mason Scholard, and Roland Kranz. Be with these little ones, O Lord, claim them as your own, and preserve them in the true faith until life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, those who are sick, hospitalized, in treatment, undergoing surgery, or recovering, and all who are in need. Comfort them with your presence, sustain their faith through your gracious promises, and bring healing to them as you will and know to be best. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, that even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. We are unworthy to partake of the divine food offered to us in the very body and blood of Christ, and yet you have prepared a place for us all the same. In this holy sacrament, fill us with Christ's life and love, that we might depart in his peace, which passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, as our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now lift your body,
precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 422. 422.
Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events for the days and weeks ahead are listed there. The school banquet, auction, fundraiser, gala, all that kind of stuff. It's coming up. Information in the news and notes. Somebody's sitting out at the table there if you want to get some tickets. That would be great. Our Lenten schedule for Wednesdays, worship at 4 and 6:30, fellowship meal from 5 to 6:15, Bible study and choir after church. Midweek just continues on just like always, so we'll keep that same schedule and routine. We'll do our best to make sure that all the bases are covered while Vicar is out, and we're not able, three people can be more places than two people, so the visits won't be quite as frequent, but other than that, everything should be, we'll do our best to keep the same schedule and things going up. We've got one Bible study today. We're not doing Summer Christian Doctrine. We're not doing Formula of Concord. Pastor Morundi is going to take some time during the Bible study time to talk about some of the details of his PhD study and the call to Indiana, all those kind of details. He's got a handout and all that kind of stuff. So please join us for coffee and goodies and that time to get all the information with regard to Pastor Morundi's, I was going to say departure, but that's a bad word. Your departure, okay. Yeah, 5 months down the road. All right. Again, I announced at the beginning of service, Vicar remains hospitalized. We need prayer. If you want to do something, give blood. If you want to help out with regard to some cash donations for gas cards, talk to the ladies in the script, or the motel room for Vicar's folks is $50 a night. That's the medical discount. So we're going to have a basket out there. If you want to make a contribution, we'll make sure that it gets to them. Please, at the present time, no visits or phone calls. We'll have lots and lots of time for that in the future. If you got a card or a note or something, get it to us, and we'll make sure that he gets it. Sunday school opening in about 5 minutes, right in here. Anything else? Have a great day and week in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.